Hi, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and we are giving you a quick shot of romance author spotlight edition. And on this author spotlight, I'm joined by my co-host, Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
And we are welcoming author BK Borison. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
BK Borison is the New York Times best-selling author of cozy contemporary romances featuring emotionally vulnerable characters in swoon-worthy settings. When she's not daydreaming about fictional characters doing fictional things, she's at home with her family, more than likely buying books she doesn't have room for. So true.
Yes.
We actually were talking today during our meeting, our team meeting, about how we just keep buying books and we have no space for them.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. If I swiveled my camera around here, you would see a horrific stack of books. Cause we renovated this office and turned it into an office when we moved into this house. And I really wanted the floor to ceiling bookshelves, and we did it. And my husband was like, this is a ton of shelf space, and we are already out of shelf space.
Yes.
But I always say the best part about becoming an author, and like my long con of being an author, was I get sent free books all the time. However, my shelves are buckling under the pressure.
We feel your pain with stacks everywhere.
We do. Yeah. And I recently moved, which is why Becky says I look like I'm in prison, because I don't have a background right now, because I don't have an office. So all of my books are in tote bags and boxes. But when I was boxing them, and then I moved about half of them to our new house, and my husband was like, that's all your books, right? And I was like, oh no, I have tons still at the other house, in the basement. He's like, I didn't realize you had that many books. I was like, neither did I.
They just accumulate. There's something deeply comforting about having boxes and bags and stacks of books around your house.
But so here's the question. Do you read the books, or do you just look at them on their shelves?
I read most. I like reading physical copies more than a Kindle.
Okay.
But I get a lot of advanced copies and manuscripts via Kindle. So then if I love the book, then I'll buy myself my little trophy to have.
Same.
But I much prefer, I call it my emotional support book. I'll carry it around with me. I love a feel of a book.
See, I used to do that, but when I had my kids, I would drop the books on their heads. And so I was like, that doesn't really work anymore.
When my children were teeny tiny, Kindles were, because if my children see me holding a book, they will attempt to rip it out of my hands. They're both very small. I'm not like a 14-year-old ripping books out of my hands, but
that would be my life.
Kindle with the kids, but if usually
if
my reading
you're like
time,
hiding in the corner. Okay, so what drew you to write romance?
For me, romance has always been a safe space, a comforting space. What I love about the romance genre is it's inherently very hopeful. When I was a kid and I'd watch a movie or read a book, my brain would always be like, okay, but where's the love story? I want more of the love story. Even watching Lord of the Rings, which was the transformative thing that made me a reader and made me an avid fandom person. I was like, okay, I want more love story. It's always, for me, it comes back to the love story. And so romance was a very natural genre for me to sort of tumble into when I started my writing journey.
I mean, I love a good Lord of the Rings.
I love Lord of the Rings.
I mean, it's Viggo Mortensen. So, I mean, that helps.
Just peak Viggo. And that one, I think, growing up as a, they came, the films came out when I was, I think I was a teenager for sure. So I was very Orlando Bloom as a young teenager, but as I've grown into a woman, it's very ooh, Viggo Mortensen.
I was that sweet spot in between. So it was both for me.
Yeah, I was too.
Why not both? Both is still good.
Both is good, because it's you had that older guy, but then right
the guy
around.
Was closer to your age.
Yeah, you had the best of both worlds. So for your writing process as a whole, are you a pantser or are you a planner?
See, I want so badly to be a planner, but I'm not.
Okay.
And I think I just need to like come to terms with that about myself. Each book is different, no matter how well a drafting process goes, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna replicate this exactly. It never ends up happening that way, depending on like your relationship with the story. And there's so many factors that I have found that impact how drafting goes. But now I can confidently say what's consistent between processes is I know where we're starting, I know where we're ending, and I know like what the pivotal turning point moment is in the story. But everything in between is a mystery. We figure it out as we go. Because I find if I do like a very heavy, detailed outline, then I sort of feel like I'm just filling out a survey or like writing, it sucks the energy out of it for me. So I try to give myself some freedom and flexibility to explore.
The one thing that I love about these interviews, and I say this every single time that I talk to an author, is learning people's process. Because every author, like at the end of the day, you get a book, but the process to get from start to finish is so different for every single author. I just think
Yeah.
it's fascinating.
It is funny because like not many people understand writing a book from start to finish, right? And so there's a community. I'm in community with a bunch of author colleagues, and we sort of chat throughout the day and like what part we're at. And it's just, I have friends who don't plan at all. I have friends who extensively plan. I have friends that when they're doing their first draft, everything's in brackets, and some people just write the dialogue first, and some people do all the description first. It's wild. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing though, how everyone's brains function so differently.
Do you have any writing rituals or habits that help you stay focused?
No, coffee, crying.
Coffee and
Coffee,
crying.
crying. I don't think so. I find like I usually, if I start my day with writing, that's usually the best for me in terms of productivity. I don't listen to music when I'm writing anything with lyrics because it distracts my brain. But I tend to listen to a song that feels like it informs the scene a little bit before I start writing to get me in the mood. But other than that, no, I mean, I have two small kids, so I write when I can, and I don't have much
You take those
respect.
like times and moments that
Yes.
you have.
I don't think my 6-year-old would have much respect for a ritual.
No, they do not. So, as a reader, is there a specific subgenre that you're drawn to?
Lately, and probably appropriately for this series, I've been really drawn to magical realism. Fantasy was such a huge, foundation for me as a reader. But as I've grown, I've wanted more grounding in like the real world. So for me, magical realism is the perfect sweet spot between contemporary and fantasy, without getting into like the details of extensive world building and stuff. So for me, I've really been into magical realism, and fantasy as always, but Ashley Poston and her work. I've been reading The Ministry of Time. Just like I've
Oh,
sort of
yeah.
been like getting my grubby little paws on anything magical realism related.
So, as a romance author, it is still one of those taboo like jobs, which is disappointing.
Yes.
But do you find any challenges as a romance author?
I don't think so. I think people have their preconceived notions of what the genre is. And I have never felt shame or embarrassment in, telling people what my work is. I'm very proud of my work, and I'm proud of my readers and the community that we've created around romance. And it's funny because people sort of chuckle when you tell them what you do, but it's, I'm like, I'm not laughing. Like, I'm doing just fine. Like, I get to work from home, be with my children, be with my husband. I get to travel. I get to tell love stories as my job. And what greater gift in the whole, what better job in the whole world than telling love stories? Like, it's just so when people are silly about it, it's just sad for them because they're letting their judgment cloud enjoyment of something that is just purely joyful and hopeful. And like, what a shame to not want to feel something joyful in this hard world. So yeah, I people certainly have their thoughts and feelings, but for me, it's never been a roadblock.
Good. That's nice to hear. I
Yes.
appreciate that like view of it too.
Yes.
So what made you write your first book?
Lovelight Farms was my first book. I had written my first original book, I should say. I had written a number of fan fiction. It's like
Again,
I feel
fanfic. I swear everybody I've talked to recently, like they started
I was gonna say, I feel like it was sort of like a dirty secret a couple years ago. Like a lot of authors start in fanfic because it's like for especially for our generation, like fanfiction.net and LiveJournal, and you know, that was where a lot of young millennials sort of started their writing journey and experimenting with their own voice and telling stories. And it's funny because I feel like a lot of people didn't really talk about it. And then Ally Hazelwood blazed onto the scene. It was very like open and upfront. Yes, this was fan fiction, and now I write original stories. So I feel like a lot of people are like, yeah, I wrote fan fiction. I feel like it's hard to find an author that hasn't written fan fiction, to be quite honest. So yes, I started with fan fiction. And then I wrote Lovelight because it was the depths of COVID. I had just had a baby. My husband at the time was a hospitalist in a surge city, so
Oh, wow.
I didn't see him ever. And so I was really lonely. Had this baby, no family couldn't visit. We didn't know the impact on children, and so we were very locked down with a newborn. And I just really wanted to do something that felt like mine, felt like a place for me to retreat to. And so I started writing Lovelight as a escape. And you know, some people when they write manuscripts are like, I'm gonna query for an agent. I'm gonna see if I can get it published with a publishing house. I was flying by the seat of my pants and was just like, okay, I'll self-publish it and we'll see what happens. Self-published it, very loosey-goosey, very just like, we'll do it. And then a lot of things happened from there. I didn't have much of a plan in the beginning. Still, to be honest, don't have much of a plan. But it's always been something that's just been joyful for me from the beginning.
Is there something that present author you would tell past author you?
Oh gosh, I don't know if she would believe the stuff we get to do, to be honest. She'd be like, this weird little book you wrote on the porch. I don't know. It's just, I feel I always tell, I was telling my husband in the car today, I was like, I hope it always feels this way. Like, I hope it always feels like what a treat it is to get to do this, you know? I have no expectations. I just here to have a good time. And I always want it to feel that way. I want it to feel like a privilege and an honor and a special little thing for me. No matter how big or small or well or bad the books do, you know. And this past year has been wild in terms of my career. Like first time caller just exploded out of the gate. And so I was like, whoa, okay. So yeah, I'm just like, I always just want it to feel, and I think the excitement and enthusiasm I had when I published that first book, I think I still have that. So as long as I have that, I'm good.
So for your stories in themselves, how do you manage the story itself while adding the element of the romance and make it balanced? Or do you just kind of fly by the seat of your pants and hope it works?
A little bit of both. Usually, the first draft, I used to be a very, and I used to really pride myself on being like a clean first draft. Like it, usually once I got through the first draft, it was good. Because I'm a slow drafter. And now my first draft is quite messy, and I'm coming to terms with like, that's okay, because it's the first draft. So I have found that usually the first draft, I just try to get all the major pieces in place. And then when I go through on the second draft, that's where I really focus on building the chemistry and the connection and the romance. And then subsequent drafts is just fine tuning. So the first one I feel like is mechanics of plot. The second one is really focusing on the relationship, and then everything else, hopefully just fixing any cracks in the road.
So let's talk Good Spirits. So this comes out October 21st, 2025. And this is one of those books where it's not your typical story. It has a little bit of that magical like element to it. But what was the inspiration for it?
I have wanted to write a story like this for a long time. I love the idea. You can tell this is my first interview about Good Spirits because I'm like, I don't
We're asking all the hard questions today.
to be quite honest with you, I watched what was that movie with Will Ferrell? Spirited. Is that it?
Oh yeah.
And
With
it
Ryan
was one of
Reynolds.
the, yes, it was where the ghost, I think it was the Ghost of Christmas Past, Will Ferrell visits Ryan Reynolds to try and convince him to be a better person. And I remember watching that movie with my husband, and thinking, I want more romance. Like, I want this ghost to fall in love with someone. And he does. In the film, Will Ferrell falls in love with a mortal, I believe. I'm forgetting the mechanics of this. But I remember watching it and being like, and then after I was just laying in bed after we had watched this movie, my husband was like, "You're thinking, aren't you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm thinking." And I remember pitching it to my agent. We were having lunch in New York, and she was used to just contemporary small town romances for me. So I was like, I have this idea about a ghost that haunts this woman who's really nice, and he doesn't know why, and the reason is because of this. And she was just like, I was like, let me write it, and then you can tell me what you think. And so I really had an itch to write something with magic in it. And this was just how it sort of manifested itself.
I love that, like, because A Christmas Carol is actually one of my favorites, and like the Marleys and all those. And I was like, I wouldn't have even thought to take a little piece of that and go the direction that you went. But also the fact that, like, Harriet, she is this good, kind person. It's like, what is the motivation here?
I really wanted to write a character that was good and kind and sweet and soft and gentle and have that be her strength and not have her need to change a single thing about herself to be seen as strong. I wanted her journey to be, yes, I am soft. Yes, I am gentle. Yes, I wear my heart on my sleeve, but that's okay. Like that's the kind of person I want to be in this world that demands me be something else. And so for me, it was very important to write her journey as just her deciding that that is okay, that is good. And for Nolan, our ghost, to be like, this woman is so ridiculous. Like for him to appear and be like, she's naive and silly, but then have him sort of start to fall in love with those pieces of her. And so I love this story so much. It's such a joy for me to talk about it because it is so different for me. But I really enjoyed writing it.
I love Harriet. Like I wanted to like wrap my arms around her and just put her in my pocket and carry her around and protect her. Like she's one of those characters we do like little segments, the characters that we protect at all cost. And I was like, she's definitely like in that realm now for me. She's on my list. So I loved her.
Well, and she's one of those characters, like she knew who she was, like she accepted that, but she finds an inner strength as the book progresses that I like she always had it, but she didn't realize like I can stand up for myself in these moments and it will be good for me. 'Cause there's a moment at a gala with her family where it's like she puts her foot down and she recognizes like Yes, this is who I am. I'm done trying to please you. I just loved her strength.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
love that she found it for herself. And I think Nolan was sort of a big driver of it, but I think it wasn't like him, it wasn't so much Nolan being like, you need to stand up for yourself, as much as Nolan loving the pieces of her that she felt like she had to suppress, and her being like, okay, well, if he finds something worth loving, then why can't other people love it the same way? And if they don't, then maybe they're not worth my time.
Well, and Nolan himself, honestly, this is one of my favorite introductions to a hero
Yes.
because she is like, he just shows up and she's
Yeah.
like, "You're breaking and entering. Like, who are you? You have an accent. Why are you here?" And there's this whole like elaborate like thought process to how he shows up and he's like, "Why don't you just get that I'm a ghost?"
And come with
Yeah.
me right now.
It's like,
Well,
that's
it's
not
fun.
creepy.
It's funny. It was really funny. Originally, I wanted to start the book that way. Just like you start right in that scene of and showing up and being like, I'm here, I'm the ghost. Because it's like when you watch any rendition of A Christmas Carol, a ghost shows up and you're everybody's on board.
Yeah,
You know? Yeah. So
exactly.
I love the idea of like this ghost of Christmas past who has done this like hundreds of times, being like, I'm here to haunt you. And she's like, no.
No.
She's
You're
like, no, thank you.
like, are you
Yeah.
going to rob me? I don't have anything that you can take. Oh, wait, maybe I do. You can have this.
Yeah. She's like, explain yourself.
She's like, you're hot. Like, why are you in my living room?
Well, and he gets so mad at her too, because like she just doesn't agree.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think I like the idea of like creating this world around the ghosts, you know, and having them serve this sort of bureaucratic afterworld type thing where Nolan is a ghost in the Office of Holiday Spirits that works in the Department of Haunt, what is it called? Department of Hauntings and Spirits. And I just, as I started creating this world, I was like, there are so many different things to explore within this department, and I like the very bureaucratic approach of like Nolan has his orders from his boss. He's just trying to cross it off before the holidays and move
Like,
on with his
yes.
afterlife.
She's literally just the name on the paper that he happened to get for the day.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I liked playing with that sort of element of it for sure.
I really like that aspect too, because because then I'm interested in everyone else working at the department. You know what I mean? It's like I'm very interested in all of their stories, like his coworkers, his boss, like, I'll read all of it. So
Well, and part of it too is you have this contemporary world, but then you've created this whole element of your own. And like, so yes, it's in the real world, but it's not at the same time. So it's like you could take the liberties that you wanted, and nobody can really say boo because this is not a
I
place
know.
that exists. So it's like, what can this magical element do to change like my contemporary world?
Yeah, it was really fun for me, and a different experience to go from writing it, because I switched between the First Time Caller series and the Ghosted series. So I'll write one contemporary and then I'll write one magical. And after going to a magical after contemporary, and I was like, why is this way? I'm like, magic. You know, like I can say it's magic. And getting to like figure out why certain things work certain ways in this afterlife, and like ha explaining how they function, and finding a way for this afterlife to exist in parallel with our world. And like, are there ghosts moving amongst us and we just don't realize it? Like that type of thing, has been really fun for me to manipulate and play with. I just finished up the first draft on the second book in this series.
Oh, yay.
So I'm fresh off the world again and, getting deeper into it and sort of sifting through and figuring out what pieces work and stuff. So it's a really fun place for me to go to in terms of drafting and playing with it.
I love how his magic manifested when it was out of control, you know, when we would get the snow and the mistletoe
I
and
love the
just
mistletoe part.
right.
Like that was just adorable. Like
I
the fact
just,
that he
yeah.
just like magicked it by accident and it wasn't an accident at the same time.
Yeah, I like the idea of like Nolan having this sort of standoffish relationship with his own magic because he was a sailor who died at sea. And then he just appears in the afterlife and it's not at all what he expected it to be. And then he's a ghost of holiday Christmas past and he has magic and he's like, well, this isn't anything that I wanted. And so Nolan's relationship with his magic throughout the book, I wrote it very specifically, where in the beginning he's like reluctantly using it. It's not very much of who he is, but like as his relationship with Harriet grows, his magic sort of grows with it because it's like too big for his body the way he's feeling around her. So I liked having this physical manifestation of how he feels
Yes.
truly just exploding out of him. Which you can't do in a contemporary, but you can do when the characters have magic.
Yeah, and I thought it just worked so well because, you know, like you said, it mirrored his internal feelings about her, and it put me in like that magical place, especially like with the holiday and the Christmas themes, and like I was very deeply into all of it.
Yeah, it was fun too to think of like, okay, what kind of magic would a ghost of Christmas past have? And I liked candy canes and mistletoe
Yeah.
and like just the fun little things. And I almost said something about book two, but I can't, so no,
Oh,
I won't.
oops.
Well, and like Harriet's journey is finding her inner strength, and Nolan's journey is finding like reason for why he's stuck in this endless cycle. And like the fact that like their journeys like come together in a way that you're not anticipating.
Yeah.
Without spoiling. Yeah.
Without, I know, like
It's hard.
that's the other thing about these interviews is sometimes you have to be super vague and it's
Yeah.
like, I'm sorry I'm vague talking right now, but I don't want to tell you anything because then I'll just give away all the good stuff.
And you should read
Well, this
the
one, yeah, this one
book.
especially, I feel like contemporary romance, you know how it's going to end, but like I feel like going into a book knowing that he's a ghost and she's not,
Yes. How
how
does
does
it
that work out
work?
in the end?
Yeah, I had
Happily.
like a pit in my stomach. I was like, I know this is gonna have a happy ever after. I was like, but how are
But
we gonna
how?
get here? And I don't want them to be upset.
Well, and that's the
Like,
thing. And how is it the happy ever after?
yeah.
Like, who's going where? And
Yeah.
what's
Yeah.
gonna, what, like, what's what? Just what?
Yeah. There is a happy ending.
There is.
But it's funny because like I read my reviews for my books just so I can stay informed of how people feel about it. And so it's funny watching people be like, I didn't know
Yeah.
where this was going. And that's fun because usually like when you write a contemporary, people know where we're going, know how we're gonna get there pretty much. So this one, it's been fun playing with the pieces. And even like book two and eventually book three, differentiating each one. So the journey is like when you're dealing with characters that are in the afterlife, what does that
Yeah.
look like in terms of what's their happy ending? Because
Yeah.
they're
Yeah.
so
But at
that's
the
been.
same, but in the same vein, like you can do whatever you want with it. So it's like
Yeah.
how you like how we interpret it is pro maybe possibly different than what you were like going for, but at the same time, like it, I just, it's just so open-ended.
Yeah, and then we just get like we get a teaser for the next book, which I won't say, but you know, if anyone is interested in what the second book is going to be, read to the end of this one.
Yes,
A
there are,
little
I will
hint.
say,
There are things.
there are hints for book two in this book, and there's hints for book three in this book. But book three hints are very, you have to squint pretty hard.
Oh, I'm
But
gonna have to go back and look.
I do like an Easter egg.
the main character, one of the main characters for book three is in this book.
Okay.
None of the main characters for book two are in this book, but one is talked about, the other one is not.
Okay, now I have theories for three. Okay. I'm excited.
I'm just
Yeah,
thinking,
I
which is
think I
why I
know.
paused.
I think maybe I'm guessing, but yeah.
It's very, very blink you miss it type thing, but I was
Okay.
intentional with how who I put where, if that makes
Oh,
sense.
nice. Okay.
Very is very, 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 very tiny.
Very tiny. Okay. I'll go back and look.
I may have to re I did request the audiobook, so when I listen to it, I will
Oh,
be
you'll probably get it on the audio then. You'll have to, if I miss it, you'll have to tell me.
I will tell
So.
you. Yeah, I'm excited to listen to the audiobook because I did enjoy eyeballing it, but I like to reread an audio.
Yeah.
So.
I haven't heard the audio yet. I remember
Oh.
listening to the audition tapes for Nolan was a real treat for me.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, nice.
And the voice actor we selected for Nolan was great.
I do like when that happens. Honestly, there are some voice actors out there that they could read me like the phone book, and I would be okay with that.
Truly.
In any speed, too. Like, I will slow it down, speed it up. Just read me names, and I'm good for that. So, what's next?
Gosh, what is next?
Going back to
So,
contemporary next,
yeah,
right?
so Good Spirits comes out in October. The second book in the Heartstring series, And Now Back to You,
Okay.
comes out in February. And then the second book in this Ghosted series comes out next fall sometime. They haven't selected a date yet.
Okay. Perfect
And then,
timing.
yes, I'm waiting to get my draft back on the second book in this series. And then I'll do developmental edits on that. And then I'll jump right into doing the third book in the Heartstring series and then the third book in the Ghosted series. And that's all I have contracted for right now. So,
That's exciting. I'm
yeah,
excited.
it's been a treat for my brain to go from. To switch between series. Sometimes it can, like, if you're doing a contemporary and a contemporary, your brain's like, okay, who is where and what are they doing? But this one, it's so clear. The lines between are so clear. It's really good for me to be like, okay, contemporary, I need a break. Magic, I need a break. Contemporary. So
Now,
that's been.
is your process any different from contemporary to the magical, or is it very similar? Because I know some authors, when they write different subgenres or like subsets like that, they have different like ways in which they approach their stories, but is it the same for both for you?
I think it's fairly similar. I take a lot more notes when I'm writing for the magic ones, just so I can keep track of the roles and who's where and doing what. But it's pretty similar in terms of overall process.
Amanda, do you have any other questions?
No, I think we got it all. But yeah, I was very excited to read this one and talk about it, so.
And the cover is amazing.
Oh, it's
Oh,
gorgeous. Brittany Keller did such an amazing job with that.
so good. We're doing
Amazing.
the planning and drafting for the cover for the second book right now, and it's
That's exciting. Yeah, I have the sprayed edges version pre-ordered, so I'm excited.
amazing. I haven't seen that one yet. I'm starting to get final copies in. Now that we're like a month out, I'm trying
Closer.
to let's see which ones do I have here. I
Not that
have
anybody can
the
see it, but we can see it.
Are
So,
you kidding? It was
oh, what is that?
the
That is pretty.
Afterlight, the Afterlight one. It is so pretty.
And this actually, when they sent me this part, the naked hardback, it made me cry because it's just like it. So it's Harriet's shop,
Oh, that is real pretty. You people need to
and
see
it's
this.
just such a
It's
it's
so
such a gorgeous shop.
detailed.
So good, so good.
They
It
put the
made me
link
cry.
up yesterday, but there's an issue shipping to the US right now, so I'm waiting
Of
to see
course
what's
there
going to
is.
happen with that because I want it.
Of course there
I know,
is.
and like I know that I keep seeing people are upset about it, but I'm like, I didn't even know it was in a box, to be quite honest, because like they don't tell us anything. I know it's going to be in an Afterlight. I know Afterlight bought to do an edition, but I don't know what they're doing with it, so.
Yeah, so I'll keep my eye out. I'll usually post in our Discord when I find out things are available. Oh, look at it. It's so pretty.
It is real
I
pretty.
love the
Oh, it's
original cover.
foiled too.
It's the UK. This is the
Oh.
UK final. And then I'm not supposed to show you this, but I'm showing you
Well,
anyway.
nobody else can see
Well,
it.
yeah. So that I can't say this, but this is the UK special edition.
Ooh.
So this will be the works, which I'm not allowed to talk about, but I just told you guys. But
Gosh,
yeah,
that's
it's foil too.
so pretty.
That is nice.
They did such a nice job. Yeah, I've been really I've been tickled with like the publishers embracing the magic of it and making it look really magical. So that's been, I really like when things visually match up. And so having
The covers are just so striking, like the color choices and all of that. Like, it's just striking.
it feels
Yeah, the
magical.
yeah, I was bound and determined to work with Brittany. And everyone at all of the publishers has been very on board with all of my many, many thoughts and feelings about how this series should look.
It's amazing. So I'm excited to get my copies.
I'm excited to see what the final US, I haven't seen the sprayed edges yet on the final.
They have a mock-up on Amazon of what it's supposedly going to look like. So, but I feel like sometimes they do better like than it looks up on the mock-up, you know. So like on, I think I was looking at the Barnes and Noble the other day too, and I was like, it's very pretty, it's very vibrant. So, but that's gorgeous.
That is
Yeah, this one,
gorgeous.
the when they sent me the Afterlight, it didn't have like the ombre blue. So final looks compared to the mock-ups looks so, I just love this Nolan. He's like a burly sailor man. You can see him.
Oh, he's so good. It's
I
so
just,
good.
yeah, that's so pretty. You're all so jealous right now because we can see it, but nobody can. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It has been a pleasure to chat with you about your craft and good spirits.
Thank you for having me.
And until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.